The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And here's hoping, wait a minute, you know what, that was weak, we can do better. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. So just to make sure I've got a real live audience out there. Okay. The Beatitudes are hard to preach on. And here's hoping, and you're showing up on Mass on a Monday afternoon, that you already know that this passage of Scripture is known as the Beatitudes. They're hard to preach on, and there's two reasons for that. The first reason is the subject matter. Jesus is talking about blessedness, and it's hard to define. It's not the same thing as happiness, as many people think that it is. Happy is a temporary condition. Blessedness is something that abides. You know what happiness is? Happiness is a 50% off store-wide sale. Happiness is your favorite crisp fall weather and an entire day free just to drink it in. Happiness, but it's temporary. It comes, it goes. Blessedness abides. Blessedness is an interior condition of joy and well-being that the highs and lows of life, the vicissitudes of life, can't destroy. And you know, we don't even have a word for it. That's why we say blessed, 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 but it's hard to capture. That's the first reason why it's hard to preach on the Beatitudes. Here's the second reason. It's because each Beatitude says so much. Each Beatitude deserves its own homily. It really does. Which is why I preach on only one Beatitude at a time. If you want to hear them all, come back. Next time I'll preach on another one. But this time we're only going to take a look at one. We're going to take a look at this one. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's take a closer look. First thing we need to understand is what's meant by persecuted. What does that mean? And I think you'll agree that it means more than just to have to encounter opposition from somebody else. In our own time, tell me if this isn't true, in our own time, many people are very eager to cloak themselves in the mantle of victimhood. Yes or yes? Yes. And they love to say that they're persecuted. And tell me if this isn't true, much of the things that they say they're persecuted for are the work of their own hands. Most people hang on a cross that was fashioned by their own making. And yet they love to say that they're persecuted. Funny about the etymology of the word persecuted, I won't get into it, to all of it right here, but it means somebody who hunts you down and chases you down. It means that you're targeted. So if you go about your life provoking people, right? Provoking fights, sticking your chin out, and saying, "I dare you to knock my block off," don't be surprised when somebody actually knocks your block off. That's not persecuted. One of my favorite examples of this, in the ancient church, when the persecutions of the Romans were going on, you were not to be counted as a martyr if you deliberately provoked the Romans to attack you. You were not to be counted as a martyr. You were only to be counted as a martyr if you bore peaceful witness to Christ and did not yield under threat. And you could say, that's what it means to be persecuted. When you bear peaceful witness to Jesus Christ and you do not yield under threat. Now, that being said, we have to admit that there's a unique disdain for the person of Jesus Christ. And it's unique among all the religions in the world. There's a unique hatred for Jesus. It's very hard to explain, but if you were to say that you drew inspiration from the writings of Confucius, if you were to say, you know, that you had a Buddhist altar in your home and this gave great meaning and peace and comfort to your life, if you were to say that you drew deep truth from the writings of Plato or Immanuel Kant, people would pat you on the back, they'd say more power to you, right? But just try mentioning the name of Jesus Christ outside the confines of a church and feel the opposition. It's very hard to explain, but there is a unique disdain for the person of Jesus. It's been said that anti-Christianity or anti-Catholicism is the last acceptable prejudice. And we don't like it very much, do we? We complain about it, don't we? Yes, we do. We say, I want to be treated fairly. How come the church never gets a fair shake? How come the church is treated by a different standard than Islam or Judaism or anybody else? And you know what? It's the moment that we say that, that we need to remember this beatitude. It's the moment that we say, I want to be treated fairly, that we need to remember that the founder of our faith was killed on a cross for something he didn't even do. It's when we say that that we need to remember that the cross is the symbol of our faith and the very heart of our identity is carrying that cross. What does it mean to carry a cross? You could put it this way. When you suffer for something you didn't do, not stoically, right? Not enduring, and not with resentment in your heart, but when you suffer in love for God and for others, something you didn't do, you are carrying the cross. That's the force that renews the world. You ever heard of the cycle of violence? It goes like this. The cycle of violence, it goes like this. Someone attacks you, you get mad, you attack them back. They get mad, they escalate, they attack you back. Cycle of violence, it escalates, and it escalates, and it escalates. And it's the devil's currency, I'm telling you. It's Satan's economy. You bear the cross when you finally say, the cycle of violence ends with me. I will take the blow, but I'm not going to fight back. I'm going to bear it in love, in imitation of Jesus Christ. That's when we need to remember this beatitude. I forget who the saint was who said this, but it says, whatever you're suffering, take a look at Jesus Christ on the cross and be silent. It's true. You will suffer. The more your life imitates Jesus Christ, the more you will suffer for things that you didn't do. And Jesus told us that it would be this way. He said, if they hate you, know that they hated me first. He said, you will take up your cross and you will follow me if you're going to be my disciple. And did you really think you were going to be exempt? Did you really think you were going to be exempt? G.K. Chesterton, that eminently quotable British author, one of my favorite quotations, he says that Jesus promised three things for all of his followers. He promised them they would be completely fearless, ridiculously happy, and constantly in trouble. This beatitude is for us when we discover that that's true. When we discover that we are, in fact, persecuted in imitation of Jesus Christ, remember, he once told you, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Amen.